The action of God inspires souls to seek the highest degree of holiness. What is required from each soul is complete abandonment to this activity. Because they do not know how to make use of God's action, many people have recourse to too many means to try to reach holiness. All these could be useful if they were ordained by God, but they are harmful when they hinder the simple, straightforward union of the soul with God. Jesus is our Master, to whom we do not pay enough attention. He speaks to every heart and utters the words of life, the essential word for each one of us, but we do not hear it. We would like to know what he has to say to other people, yet we do not listen to what he says to us. We do not try enough to look at things as having been given a supernatural character by God's action. We should always receive them with the confidence they deserve, generously and with an open heart, for none of them can harm us if we welcome them in this manner. This tremendous activity of God, which never varies from the beginning to the end of time, pours itself through every moment and gives itself in all its vastness and power to every clear-hearted soul which adores and loves it and abandons itself without reserve to it. You say you would be delighted to be able to die for God. You would find great pleasure in such a violent deed or a life that ended up that way. You long to lose everything, to die abandoned by everyone, and to sacrifice your life for others. But as for me, Lord, I give all glory to your will. Obedience to it gives me all the joy of martyrdom, austerity, and loving my neighbor. Your will is all sufficient for me, and I am happy to live and die as it ordains. I delight in it for itself alone, quite apart from all it does, pervading all things and rendering all it touches divine. Because of it, all my life seems lived in heaven. My every moment is part of your activity, and, living or dead, I can know no greater bliss. I shall no longer account the times and the manner of your approach, my beloved. You will always be welcome. It seems to me, dear will of God, that you have revealed to me your greatness, and there is now no longer anything I can do outside its embrace, which is the same yesterday, tomorrow, and forever. From you, O Lord, pours the unending stream of grace. You ensure that it never fails and that it works unceasingly. So I shall no longer try to find you within the narrow limits of a book, in the life of a saint, or in some high-flown philosophy. All these are only drops of that ocean which flows over us all. God's activity moves through everything, and all else are but mere fragments which disappear within it. I shall no longer try to find God's will in spiritual writings. I shall no longer go begging, as it were, from door to door for food for my soul, nor shall I seek anything at all from any created being or thing. Dear Lord, I mean to live so that I may honor you as the son of a father who is infinitely wise, good, and powerful. I intend to live according to my beliefs, and as your will governs all things at all times, and is always for my benefit, I will live on this vast income, which can never fail, is always present, and always available to do me the greatest possible good. Is there any creature whose works can equal those performed by God? Since his uncreated hands do everything for me, why should I run about seeking help from ignorant, helpless creatures who have no real affection for me? I should die of thirst if I rushed from fountain to fountain, from stream to stream, when by my side is an immeasurable stretch of water poured out by your hand. Where else do I need to look? You give me bread to feed me, soap to cleanse me, fire to purify me, and a chisel to shape my human form into one worthy of heaven. You give me everything I need. What I seek elsewhere seeks me out and offers itself to me through all creation. O love, why should you be so unknown, and why should you, as it were, throw yourself and all your delights at everyone, whilst people are trying to find you in hidden corners and obscure places where they will never come across you? How foolish they are not to breathe the fresh air, not to wander about the countryside, not to drink the abundant water, not to recognize and seize hold of God and see His holiness in all things. My dear souls, you are seeking for secret ways of belonging to God, and there is only one, making use of whatever He offers you. Everything leads you to this union with Him. Everything guides you to perfection except what is sinful or not a duty. Accept everything and let Him act. All things conduct you and support you. Your way is lined with banners as you advance along it in your carriage. All is in the hand of God. His action is vaster and more pervasive than all the elements of earth, air, and water. It enters you through every one of your senses so long as you use them only as He directs, for you must never employ them against His holy will. God's action penetrates every atom of your body into the very marrow of your bones. The blood flowing through your veins moves only by His will. The state of your health, whether you are weak or strong, lively or languid, your life and death all spring from His will, and all your bodily conditions are the workings of His grace. Every feeling and every thought you have, no matter how they arise, all come from God's invisible hand. There is no created being who can tell you what His action will achieve within you, but continuing experience will teach you. Uninterruptedly, your life will flow through this unfathomed abyss where you have nothing to do but love and cherish what each moment brings, considering it as the best possible thing for you, and having perfect confidence in God's activities, which cannot do anything but good. Yes, divine love, if all souls could only be satisfied with you, what supernatural, sublime, wonderful, and inconceivable heights they would scale. Yes, if only we had sense enough to leave everything to the guidance of God's hand, we should reach the highest peak of holiness. Everyone could do it, for the opportunity is offered to everyone. We have, as it were, only to open our mouths and let holiness flow in. In you, every soul has a unique model of surpassing holiness, and by your never-wearying activity may be made to resemble you. If every soul lived, acted, and spoke under the guidance of God, they would have no need to imitate anyone else. Each one of them would be a unique and holy being, made so by the most ordinary means. How, my Lord, can I make people value what I offer them? I possess so great a treasure that I would shower wealth on everyone, and yet I see souls withering like plants in an arid waste. You simple souls, who are quite without any piety, have no talents, are quite uneducated, understand nothing of the language of spirituality, and are filled with astonished wonder at the eloquence of the learned. Come, and I will teach you a secret that will put you far ahead of these clever folk. I will make you so well placed for achieving perfection that you will always find yourself in the midst of it. I will unite you to God, and you shall go hand in hand with Him from the first moment you begin to do as I shall tell you. Come, I say, come, not to study the map of the realms of the Spirit, but to possess it, so that you can walk freely about it and never be afraid of getting lost. Come, not to study the record of God's grace, not to learn what it has done down all through the centuries and is still doing, but come and be the trusting subject of its operation. There is no need for you to understand the lessons it has taught others, nor to repeat them cleverly. You will be taught matters which are for you alone.